Warning, the following program is not for the weak-hearted. Those who are closed-minded, or in general, you're scared to learn what's behind closed doors. Here at Sapphire Zero Play, I want you to pour the wine. Grab somebody that you want to hold on to, or better yet, get the vibrations stimulated through your body. Get ready for one hell of an orgasm in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. What is up, all my sexy motherfuckers out there in Radio Land? It's your girl Sapphire.
And your fit and dirty girl, yeah.
And the moment is here. We have a very, very special guest. Kind of have like a three-way situation going on. Like, we are all in different places right now. I got the one and only King Noir.
What's going on?
Hey, hey.
I'm glad to be a part of this three-way.
It's a nice three-way.
Yes. See, I had to put on a little robe for you, King. I like stripped down, got my wine. I'm like ready to go for you.
Oh, that's what it is.
And happy Valentine's Day. I don't know, like, if you're like me, I do not give a shit about this day, to be honest.
I don't care either, girl. It's another day of work.
It is. It's just another Thursday. I'm like, everybody's like, oh, what's your plans? I was like, honestly, I'm about to record a sex podcast with a sexy black man. I'm going to have some red wine. I'm going to have some weed. And I'm going to call it a day because tomorrow I got to get paid. Like, sorry.
Thanks for reminding me. I need to see how much my check is.
Right?
Let me check them hours real quick.
Man, but tonight we are definitely talking about all things BDSM and more, especially, you know, I feel like, and it is, you know, Black History Month, so we have to continue with this. I mean, Black stories matter all year round, but we own this shit in the month of February. And so to tie in with my fuck your Valentine's Day palooza that I like to do every year, I had to bring on King because I myself love the world of kink. I have a dom. I kind of am like in a poly amorous type of relationship with my other partners. I love toys. I love, you know, being paddled and flogged and forced orgasms, and I love just being deprived on certain things, honestly. And we just had to get the expert in here. We had to come and connect with you
because we already had suit and tie in.
Mm-hmm. Now, King, suit and tie is my dom. And yeah, and so a lot of people are like, well, he's a white guy, like, why would you choose your dom to be a white guy? So for all of our vanilla listeners out there, can you explain a little bit about what BDSM is? First and foremost,
BDSM is a wide range of things, and new ways and different ways and different dynamics for us to engage with our lovers, engage with our partner, engage with our clients. You know, and it ranges from, you know, bondage and discipline, dominance and submission, tops and bottoms, dominance and submissives, sadism and masochism. And it's like to me, it's an artistic way to engage in extending sexual encounters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it prolongs your foreplay. It makes everything just last longer, but it just adds a different dynamic to everything. So, you know, I think it falls under the category of a fetish. You know, like a lot of different BDSM acts and dynamics are different fetishes that people have. And everybody, no matter how vanilla you are or how wild and kinky you are, you know, everybody has a fetish. It's just another way to live out your fetishes and express them in your everyday life.
Okay. And I, you know, one thing that you said in particular, I like it how you emphasize the fact about fetishes, because a lot of people think that BDSM means that you're a person that just likes to be abused, you know. Yeah. And they don't understand the whole fantasy concept. Like, I myself don't like, I mean, yes, I like to have like a little love marks here and there, but I'm not definitely one to be like punch me in my eye kind of thing. I know, like, it is a different way of lovemaking in some sorts too, depending upon the relationship that you might have with your dom, correct?
Correct.
And
a lot of times people automatically go to the most extreme levels in their brain because if it's something new to them, you know, when things are new, people might just kind of be like, you know, that's crazy to me, or I'm a little apprehensive to it because of the level of extremity that it can go to. But there's certain things like psychological domination where you don't even have to put your hands on somebody.
Mm-hmm. And that's true.
So they just don't have the full, they don't see the full spectrum of it. They just kind of see how it's portrayed in, you know, movies or the media.
Oh, Lord. You know, we have to quote that dumbass movie. Can I just say, once that 50 Shades of Grey, when that came on, I could not believe the, like, things that people were coming out and they're just like, oh my God, yes, I love to get my ass whooped. I love to do this. And I'm like, it's not about that, you guys. It's not like right. This woman is in an abusive relationship. They are lovers.
Mm-hmm. I think that film and the book and all of that was definitely like a double-edged sword in the sense that it definitely turned a lot of people on to BDSM, mm-hmm. fetishes, and things of that nature, and piqued the interest. Like, it was great for business. Like, thank you for putting that shit out. Like, that was great for business. But also at the same time, you know, there was now this kind of like, I don't know, kind of like the Princess and the Frog type situation as well. Like,
yeah.
People thinking like, well, I'm going to find this person that is, you know, like my BDSM master, and then he's gonna fall in love with me and we're gonna live happily ever after.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, they kind of just had that perception of it. Or like, in order to engage in this, I have to be a multi-billionaire or something.
Right.
You know, so there's like all these, because of that, people thought like, well, that's what it is, and it can't be anything, it can't differentiate from that. So I think that was that. Like I said, I think it was like there were some good aspects of it coming out, and then there were definitely like people in the BDSM community where we're like, it's not really a proper portrayal.
Yeah.
At least now some people won't look at us completely like we should be ostracized. They'll be like, oh wow, I kind of like spanking. Oh, I've thought about getting tied up before. Maybe those BDSM people aren't so weird. You know what I mean? Like, I think
oh
that,
my God.
I think that aspect of it was kind of good because it brought it a little bit closer to everybody realizing like, yeah, I'm into a whole bunch of that shit too.
Right. I mean, okay, so we got to ask you, when did you know that you just wanted to be more involved in this whole world of BDSM?
Shit, when I was in like high school, I don't know where I stole a pair of handcuffs from. But
what?
Yeah, like I was into handcuffs and candle wax.
Ooh.
Oh shit, that's the old school shit.
When I was a teenager, you know, I really like, you know, I didn't know there was a name for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always thought leather was sexy. You know, like just the images that I would see that were, I guess now I look back at it like, oh, that was like some BDSM shit. Like, you know, the Catwoman cut get ups and stuff, you know, like I always thought that was super sexy. And
oh, yes.
A lot of that was a ripoff of like, you know, different leather outfits from BDSM back in the day. So like as I got older and I understood, okay, there's a world.
Mm-hmm.
Of this,
mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I started getting into like kitten play and all this other kinds of stuff. And I was just like, oh, there's a name for that? Like, I just really liked her purring like a kitten on the floor with a bowl of milk and shit. Like, I thought that was cool. You know, like I always like was very into dominance and the submission aspects of it. And I don't know, as I've grown and learned more about it, I'm like, okay, well, you know, I got to learn about flogging. Like, I've been flogging for like 3 years now.
I gotta say, seeing your videos of you flogging people, that turns me on so much. I don't know if it's the sound, the action. I don't know. It's the way you do it. It's such like a fluid art. And you just do it so damn well. I'm just like, damn, I might have to book myself a session. Yes.
Well, you know, flogging got me interested into BDSM.
Okay.
I did a damsel in distress, non-sexual clips for sale type of thing. And when he was flogging me on my pussy, I had my panties on, of course. I just, the sensation of it, like, started to turn me on. And I was like, wow, this is different. Like, I've never had this sensation before, but I kind of like it. Like, the way the leather felt on my skin, and it's just, oh, my God.
It's the best. It's the best.
It is.
Now, King, have you always been a top, or have you ever, like, at one point switched?
I've never switched to be a submissive, but like the first time when I saw somebody flogging, I was like, I want to know what that feels like before I do it to somebody else. You know, so like certain instruments and items, like I'll even hit myself with them just to know what it feels like.
Really?
I've never done like the full like be submissive, but I fall more on the sensual dom side, so I enjoy pleasing. You know, I've had like philosophical dominance conversations with people who are like, well, if you're doing it to please someone else, hey, whatever. You know, like I like to have fun with it. I'm not in this to hurt people or in this to you know, fuck people's heads up. Like I enjoy the someone letting go and letting me just do everything in my powers to them.
So, oh.
You know, I've definitely listened. I listen very well, but I don't sub out though.
Okay. See, I had to ask because I know that some men, like recently, this man had asked me to personally dom him, and for me, it's always been a fantasy to kind of dom a man, but I'm also so used to having a man in control of me, and in particular, one man. Other men, it's like, they try to say that they're dominant, but they really aren't, and they're just lazy fucks, I guess you could say. But it's like, when a man really dominates me, it's like, for me, it's like, it's refreshing, because I always feel that if I'm not with my main partner who dominates me, it's like, okay, I'm just having regular ass sex. And while regular sex does please me, there's something about that, just like you said, taking that control, you know, giving it all up to one person and just basically almost like wither, like just wither in your hands, like putty or like sand, just falling through and just like kind of like, it just brings me such like a high that I cannot explain.
Well, I think for me, I get asked a lot, especially by other black men, what, like, do they lose, like, some points, basically, if they're submissive? You know, like, my partner Jasmine and I, you know, we travel the country doing kinky pop-ups and lectures.
And y'all are sexy as fuck. Let me just add that.
Thank you very much. And as we travel, you know, It's a lot of people of color who come out to our events. And I'll never forget this one brother. We were at Exotica, New Jersey, doing our Intro to Kink class. And this brother, he was like 6'3", 6'4". And he was like, you know, I want to be submissive, but because of my height, because of my skin color, and because of who I am, you know, people always look at me like I cannot be submissive. It's not okay for me to be submissive. I always have to be the aggressor because I'm a black man. But I really want to let go and be submissive, you know? So I think that's like one of those things that we got to dispel, you know? Like, for example, like exactly what you said, you like to have a man who is dominant.
Yes.
You know, so, but at the same time, you know, there are men out there who want to be submissive. So it's very important that, you know, everybody kind of finds their match. And that's one of the beautiful things about BDSM and kink, is that we are out here and we find, you know, the other puzzle piece to what we're looking for sexually.
Mm-hmm. What would you say, you know, to those? And I'm glad that now you're... Oh, it's so cute.
That's my son who has joined us right now. he was laid back, and now he's all overwhelmed.
Oh, his name is Your Majesty?
His name is Majesty.
Oh my God, I can't. See, ladies, fellas, okay, you don't have to, like, people have, you know, people who are in the kink, they got families too, okay? No more shunning these people, saying that, oh, they can't possibly be a family man. Yes, they can. It's just an extra thing that you do in life and that you enjoy. But
it's just all in the bedroom. It's not like something you broadcast.
Right.
Like with your kid.
Right. It's not like he's in the room.
Age appropriate education.
Yes. Always.
He turns 8 months tomorrow, but he will know about consent from a very young age. He's not going to grow up to be a douchebag. So that's very important.
Yes. Yes. Because
he's going to grow up to be an ally.
Mm. And just like his daddy, I'm going to love that. I love that. I have to save that clip because that's the truth right there, honestly. And I'm glad that you said you'll teach him consent, because I feel like now consent is just so important and yet sexy to me at the same time. With all my partners, we have blanket consent. And for those who that don't know, that just means everything, you know, is a yes until further notice. And the one thing I really want to get across is, you know, going back to that man that you said, you know, he is that stereotype, that big, tall man, muscular black man. Like, how could he possibly want to be submissive? But I get it. And I hate the stigma that people say that BDSM is only for white folks. That's the one thing I hate the most. Or, you know, that there's white people out there who just only seek, you know, black submissives because that's a way to suppress their, you know, racism. Like, I don't understand all these like conclusions that do that. Like, even one of the girls, one of my new girls that I play with, she said, you know, personally for her as a black woman, she couldn't think to have a white dom at all. Like, she was trying to understand the dynamic between my dom and I, who, as I said, was white. And she said, I just cannot imagine a white man doing half the shit that you tell me that he does, like with the flogging and the tying up. And she said, I wouldn't be able to take it as like a pleasure thing. Like, I would have to question his real motive behind it. So what do you say to something like that?
I think if that's how she feels, she's completely entitled to feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you don't feel that way, you're completely entitled to how you feel and how you engage with your dom. I think when it comes to people of color and the kink community, just the same as any other space that we navigate in the United States, we have to keep racism as something that we think about.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of spaces that are not safe for us. There are a lot of spaces that people do not care about black bodies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's but if you go to a lot of kink spaces, they don't teach the difference between what's going to show on my skin or your skin,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to someone that's Caucasian, of when they need to make sure that we're okay. You know, we're not going to turn blue as fast as someone who's fair skinned.
Right.
We're not going to have bruises or blood vessels that show up the same way. So what is it that they have to look out for? And, you know, I think that that's a legitimate concern for a lot of people, because unfortunately, I mean, I'm a porn performer also, and
mm-hmm.
we deal with in porn, you know, people who show up on set with Queen of Spades tattoos.
What is that?
So Queen of Spades is kind of like this thing where white women who say that they only sleep with black men or they're owned by black men. Due to knowledge on the history of the word spade, being called a spade is like being called a coon or a nigger. Mm-hmm. So no, you're not the queen of me. You're not the queen of niggers. Like, what kind of racist shit is that?
Right.
You know, but people present it in the porn and within the swinger community like that's something that should be celebrated. Like, yeah, she only sleeps
with
black men.
That's like a swastika just tatted on you.
Yeah. Wow. Trying to make it like a sexy swastika. Like, nah, work that way. You know
it's
me?
Not.
Wow, so, I just learned something new because I have never heard of that.
Now we're going to look after these white girls with that kind of tattoo.
Oh, my God.
There's also some white men now who are calling themselves King of Spades.
Ooh.
You know, so like those kind of settings and situations, it's very important that, you know, if you don't know what that is and then you're you wind up, you know, at a dump or something, and you're playing with a guy who has a King of Spades tattoo, you can't tell me that he has the same intention for you can't tell me that he has the same intention flogging somebody who's a black woman he would for a white woman if he calls himself king of a derogatory name for black women.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I think I can understand, you know, like, for example, you know, like with me, I might like putting handcuffs on other people, but I have a bad experience with being beaten by police. I don't want anybody putting handcuffs on me.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take me to a good place in my head. So, you know, there are things that with people of color that we do have to account for, and it's okay. You know, so like, just as I said, you know, for each his or her, there, I think the one thing that I definitely want to say is completely wrong is when people are just like, yo, kinks and fetishes are some white people shit.
Right.
That's not true at all.
Oh my God. Far
well,
from
that's
it.
That's why I mentioned that. Did you ever get criticized by people of color? Because I got it a lot when I started working for kink. Like, they used to call it slavery stuff. I'm selling myself to the devil. Like, it was just crazy. Like, it's nothing like that. I found pleasure out of it.
Nah, I feel you. I mean, I've gotten some kind of criticism from both sides. Because, like, I don't try to model myself in the style that people are used to for BDSM.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't dress like a cowboy. I don't dress like a biker.
Right.
You know, that's not my culture.
With black boots, black pants.
Yeah, like if I'm wearing black boots, they're probably gonna be Tim's.
You know
what I'm saying?
Like I'm hip hop. I grew up hip hop. I'm from Jersey. Like that's how I dress. But you know, it's gonna look fly.
Right.
Like, yeah.
I look good when I flog in J's. Like, so what? With some foam or something. Like I don't have to wear cowboy boots to engage in BDSM. So I've got it on that side where people feel like I don't dress the part, but that's not the part I'm trying to play.
Right.
And then,
oh my
then
God, I get he's so cute. To,
against with like people of color who definitely feel like, you know, it's some white people stuff to be involved in fetishes and kinks, and I'm like, you're more vanilla than they are in that case. Like, if you don't have fetishes or kinks or want to acknowledge the shit that turns you on, then mm-hmm. you're just boring in bed, and I don't really care what color you are. But mm-hmm. I think, you know,
true that.
people have been spanking each other from the dawn of creation. I'm pretty sure about it. And if you really want to go back through history and through time and all kinds of things like that, you find a whole lot of sex toys in Africa and a whole lot of different art that was celebrating sex and celebrating
mm-hmm.
the
body.
So, you know, our ancestors were kinky too. So
yeah.
people need to let go of that.
And I think also too, the thing that they have to get out of their mindset is the fact that, again, like you said, it's some white people shit. We all have kinks and fetishes. And I think even sometimes people don't even realize they have kinks and fetishes because they're not familiar with that world or that terminology. I mean, if you like to be spanked, that's kind of like your fetish. It's the thing that gets you off. If you
absolutely,
like...
Absolutely. That's impact play right there.
Right. Now, ooh, I love that term. Impact play. So that would be spanking, choking, what else?
Well, spanking, flogging, caning, whipping... any time where there's any impact delivered to the body. So mm-hmm. like, you know, a lot of times when we do it and I ask people, you know, well, do you like getting spanked? And people like, hell yeah. And then I'll be like, you know, well, do you like the heavy part of the hand or do you like the edges of the fingers?
Mm.
Or do you like the middle where there's more of a cup? And that usually helps me understand, well, would they prefer to be paddled or would they rather feel the dragon's tail?
Oh, no paddles for me.
Really? No paddles for you? Yes?
I'm not into paddles too much. I can only take so much of it. That's why I like flogging.
I'm actually shocked.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm learning something about you.
But I think that's important, though, because, like, the thing that I love about BDSM and kink is that I have to learn my partner's body. I have to learn my sub's body.
Yes. So
if I'm vlogging her and I know she's like, no paddles, how do you feel about like dragon tails and whips and stuff like that?
What's a dragon tail?
Dragon tail is kind of like a folded over piece of leather. It's a whip, but it's folded, so it has a different kind of snap. It kind of feels like a.
It's not a riding crop, is it?
Mm-mm. Ooh.
Riding crop is like the. End.
Okay.
I'm about to look this up. I'm like, ooh, let me see what kind of new toys I might have to add.
For example, then, how do you feel about riding crop?
I like those.
I love them, okay. And I'm mad. So somebody stole mine.
Someone like yourself, I would know that you prefer a little bit more sting and as opposed to like a flat, hard paddle. Like,
yes.
So paying attention to how your body responds to the different floggers I use, paying attention to your breathing, paying attention to how your body, like you said, when he started flogging your pussy, that made you wet. That made you feel it. So teasing you in that way, like I love that aspect of what BDSM entails, because it's like not just, hey, we show up, we take our clothes off, we fuck, it's whatever.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like we're building up this energy between us. And we're building this dynamic between us that, you know, you're gonna feel it when you walk away. You're gonna feel it while we're having sex. Like, damn, he's hitting me from the back and I still feel what that flogger felt like.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like all of that together, it just builds it up and makes it stronger. So it's like, I just find it like there's an art to it. There's the art of making love, and there's so many different ways to paint. You know what I'm saying? There's so many different ways to express yourself sexually. Why ever limit yourself?
Damn, you are taking the words out of my motherfucking mouth right now. Because that is the woof. I'm like, damn, can I just make a trip to LA? I need to come see my peoples now.
Well, we're doing a big event in LA in July.
Ooh.
July 6th. It's going to be Jet Set and Jasmine and myself, and then, of course, Velvet Lips. And we're going to be bringing some local fetish and kink performers, and we're going to be doing a big event at Sanctuary LAX.
So
you are more than welcome to come if you want to come interview some folk and all
yes.
that. Like, we would love to have you.
Oh, honey.
You're coming here to the Bay. I know that.
Yes, we're going to be in the Bay the 20th through the 25th. We're going to be doing a live sex show at Kink. We're going to be doing a pervertibles and a temperature play demonstration at Kink HQ.
Ooh.
And then we're going to be doing a kinky pop-up in Oakland. So,
yeah.
They still have the armory?
So come on through. No, they don't have the armory anymore, but they do some events at a bar that is across from the armory
okay,
space.
Okay, I've been there before,
and
yeah.
And then they have, and then they also do some events at their actual headquarters.
Oh my God. Oh, I wish I could
See,
make it up to that.
You're welcome to come out.
Yes.
You stay in the Bay though, right?
Yeah, I do.
And
I know you're down in San Diego.
Yeah, I'm in San Diego now. I miss it. Okay. I miss LA though. But I'm going to come through.
LA, come through to LA. And then we just have to get one of y'all at a time to come through and party with us.
Yes.
Okay.
Hell yes. Now, you know, I love how you guys do host like these play parties, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
They range from educational, like we do two types of parties. We do something that's called Fantasy Flights,
mm-hmm.
and we do something that's called Kinky Pop-Ups. Kinky Pop-Ups are open to the public. Fantasy Flights are usually like bachelorette parties or couples parties, or people hire us to come into their home. So
mm-hmm.
they're more private events. And then we also do lectures and talks, like the one I feel like I'm doing right now, which is porn and parenting.
Oh,
where we talk to people about, you know, how to keep that spice in the bedroom while you're raising your kids, but also, you know, how to raise your kids in a sex positive way. So like I said, your little boys will grow up to be allies to women instead of predators, and that your little girls will hopefully grow up to be nice and strong women who are proud of their sexuality and not ashamed.
I got to give you snaps for that, because honestly, I feel, and I used to work in the porn industry for radio, and I would always, you know, question to see how do, you know, porn stars and, you know, fetish artists, you know, deal with you know, the porn side and then parenting. And honestly, a lot of the people that I've met, it's like, you would never know when you come to their home. It's not like they got all these sex toys just like out and about, you know. And it's like, they understand mommy goes to work. They don't know what mommy does per se or daddy does per se. But they understand that at the end of the day, they come home and it's normal. It's back to the mommy daddy world kind of thing. And I love that. And I wish that it would be more normalized, because I feel like lately there's just so much stigma in the adult industry, and especially with children. And last week, Yaz and I were talking about, what was her name?
Mercedes Carrera.
Yeah, and how she just recently was indicted for the on molestation charges. And it's just like, you know, the porn world gets like one little up with the whole Stormy Daniels situation, and then all of a sudden it gets dropped back into the negativity. And so I'm so glad that you host something like that to really kind of break that stigma.
Well, I mean, we're human beings, sex workers are human beings, whether it's porn stars or cam models, across the board, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of times we're porn wouldn't be a multi-billion dollar industry if most of the world wasn't involved in purchasing it or watching it in some shape, form, or fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So to try and then stigmatize the people who are the performers for it, I think is extremely hypocritical.
Oh, yes.
And then on top of that, you know, like the situation with Mercedes is horrible, you know, but there are horrible people in all industries.
Mm-hmm.
But people True. Have this people have this perception of adult entertainment. They think, oh, just because you're in adult entertainment, you know, you arrived at adult entertainment because of something terrible. And, you know, it's unfortunate mm-hmm. that as a community, we're not more outspoken against the negativity to show like, hey, there are a lot of us that aren't negative people. There are a lot of us who might have come into the adult industry from all different forms of business with different kinds of levels of college education and beyond. But, you know, people don't want to hear that because unfortunately most people are trying to escape their everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
So when they go to their fantasy world, they don't want to think that, oh my God, King Noir has kids. You know, they might not want to think that, but I'm seeing a difference though, because a lot of people reach out to us now like, wow, it makes me feel as a dad
mm-hmm.
and reach out to you and ask you a question like, I need more time with my wife. How can we sneak in, you know, 20 minutes to have sex when we have a newborn? And I never thought I could reach out to a porn star and ask that question before, you know. So it's like, there are some people out there who do look at us for some kind of sexpert advice.
Yeah. I mean, who better to ask? Who better to ask than those who are actually dabbling in it? Versus, like, that's why I kind of hate sometimes these sexperts out there who have no real adult entertainment backgrounds. Not judging them all. I'm not saying that all of them are bad, but I feel like sometimes some sex coaches and sex educators, they just don't, they don't understand. It's always like to the book, you know what I mean? It's always like scholarly, and it's not the real,
it's really textbook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they never really touch upon, you know, juggling the whole parenting and, you know, wanting to get it in, but you don't want to traumatize your kid, or you don't want to, you know, like shun your partner because they can't get in the mood because the child was crying, or, you know, and whatnot. So that's good that you bring that normalcy to that, and you are able to reach those masses to be like, hey, I'm a parent, I'm a porn star, you know, I do fetish, you know, things. I love how you make that normal. That's what we need. Like you said, that's what we need. And again,
I mean, I look at, oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, no, please, please.
I was gonna say, I mean, look at us in the porn industry and the fetish industry, like, we're sexual athletes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we should be paying attention to how we treat our bodies. we should be paying attention to how to get the most out of our bodies to be able to perform the best. And if that's the case, you know, we should be able to help people who have questions about it. You know, like if you know, you're into basketball and you're like, yo, I want to get a better jump shot. You're going to watch Steph Curry. You're not just going to go down to the local park and see anybody shoot jump shot.
Right.
You know, so it is important that we do find ways to make ourselves approachable if we want to normalize our industry and actually get people on our side.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is important that people not only want to watch us to get off, if that's all they do, but then they don't care about our humanity, then they're just exploiting us. And I think that it's important that we're out here doing real things to show that we're real people.
So I got a couple questions from some of our listeners. One in particular, and I thought this was a good one. One guy, he says, how do I get my girl interested into doing play parties? So he says that they're in a open relationship right now. They're not full-on swingers, but he says that they want to bring more spice into their life, and you know, she had vocalized that she would like to be watched. And so he's asking, you know, what are some things that they can both kind of prepare themselves mentally for so that she can you know, be fulfilled with her fantasy and he be fulfilled with his, without, you know, them losing sight of each other? Because I know at a lot of play parties, you know, a lot goes on. I myself, my first play party that I went to last year in LA, I had to take a break and like just separate myself. I almost cried in the bathroom because there was just so much sensory overload that was going on. Like, I was getting the thrill of being watched, but at the same time, I'm like, oh my God, like, I don't want to get recognized. I don't want, you know, someone to kind of like creep on me. But I didn't get those you know, those feels until after I was like playing and getting involved. So for, you know, the couples out there, like this one in particular, thanks Dave in Ohio, what do you have to say for them that they want to encounter and go into that world?
I think first thing is to sit down and have a real discussion about what you are comfortable with and what you are not comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
Because going to like a swingers club, sex club, play party, you know, there's so many different things that can be going on. You know, I think one of the main things is always like, I remember I went with a partner before and she was just like, don't ever leave me alone. Like no matter what, I want to be able to see you. So if you got to get a drink, I'm coming with you to that drink. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't ever leave me alone. And, you know, it's a very simple request. But if you fall short of that request, that could be the end of your relationship, because right. Then your partner doesn't feel safe and feel that you won't honor their safety anymore. You know? So I think that's a very important thing, is to have that conversation. Number two, I think you said that she wants to be watched.
Mm-hmm.
So does she want to be watched with him? Does she want to have him watch her with someone else? You know, those kind of things have to be spoken about and negotiated. It's not one of those kind of places that you want to have this conversation when you get there. Like, you don't want to be that, like, I'm not talking about nothing. And then when you get there, you're like, oh, I really want to go holler at this other lady. All right,
right.
I'll see you later.
Right.
You know, you don't want to put that kind of pressure on somebody. You don't want to leave anybody alone. So definitely talk about it. And even if y'all wind up not going, just that conversation will open up new things in your relationship, and it'll probably open up y'all having sex even before y'all get to the club. Like, oh, word you into that? Like that? Shit, let's get it. You know what I mean? So I think that, you know, the more open you are and the more conversation, the better.
I like that. Yaz, do you have any questions for him? Uh-oh, do we lose Yaz?
He's pretty thorough. Like, I'm just like, damn.
Right? I feel like I'm in one of your classes.
Very informative of the lifestyle, you know?
I love it. He's so, like, I'm loving this. Like, King, we might have to bring you back on another time, because there's so...
I'll definitely love that.
Yes, because there's so much that we could, like, pick your brain about on it. But again, it's just, you pretty much said that. Like, I wish I had... learned more about play parties. And don't get me wrong, my partners, they kind of did exactly what you told me. Like, you know, we had the sit down of like what to expect kind of thing. Because my thing is, when I go to these play parties, I have to make sure that everything is anonymous. Like,
yeah,
I just can't have, like, I have to make sure, like, hey, there's no cameras, nothing.
Yeah.
This is so cute.
I know, he is adorable. I can't.
Are y'all hearing him? Are y'all hearing? I'm going to have to definitely come back on with a baby background for sure.
You know what that just adds? That adds realism.
I was saying he's like learning every single possible sound that he can and trying them out right now. I don't know.
I love it though.
He's doing that on purpose. He wants attention. He's like, yeah.
He's like, why y'all ain't? He like, why y'all ain't asking me no questions?
Right. Okay. Let me have the mic. He is so cute. Well, I definitely would love to meet him off air, of course, not at a play party, because he just sounds like
Of course. Well, I think it's funny because people when we have these conversations and we talk about like porn and parenting, for example, people mm-hmm. ask like completely ridiculous questions. They'd be like, someone asked me like, what's the right age to introduce your child to porn? I'm like, there is no age. It's illegal for a child to watch porn.
Right. What?
Man, like, so, you know, people have this perception and it's like, you know, being a sex positive parent doesn't mean breaking rules, laws, or doing something stupid.
Right.
It means, like, for example, my son will be able to refer to his body parts by the anatomically correct terminology, you know? So that way, if God forbid he has to describe what happened to him to a police officer or a teacher, he'll be able to say it in a way, because in some states, they've made it that if you don't say the proper words, you can't go prosecute somebody.
Wow.
So it's important to teach our children the right way so that they can be protected and that they can be safe. You know, that's really what it's about, you mm-hmm. know? And unfortunately, you know, a lot of people are just watching any old porn to learn about sex as children, not understanding that as a porn performer, I signed a contract of consent.
Right.
That I spoke with my co-star beforehand to find out that she liked flogging, but she didn't like. You know, mm-hmm. so it's not like we just showed up on set and I was like, here, let me spank you with something.
Right.
You know, and in real life, you should have those same kind of conversations with your lovers, with your partners, even if that's somebody that you just met at a bar and you're about to have a one night stand. If you don't have a talk about consent, then you're doing it wrong, you know, and teaching our children from a very young age is very important. You know, like we live in this culture where people are completely obsessed with sex and America will sell you sex with every single thing. But then people are scared to actually have the conversation about protection.
Right.
Health, sexual health and wellness and things like that.
All of it.
So
I'm totally with you. Like, that's the biggest thing for me. I'm like, you know what would be hot? Watching a TV show and actually seeing someone whip out a condom. Like, to me, I get more angered nowadays
sure.
when I'm not seeing any form of consent or any form of protection. Because I'm like, what exactly are you trying to tell me? That I'm not going to get pregnant? That I'm not going to have an STD or an STI? You know, because that it pisses me off so much. Like, for me, I like to see a little protection or something that's just like, okay, cool. Everything's cool. We're all blanketed. We're yeah. all good. We're good to go. Like, I would like to see that more. Because while sex sells, I also, like you said, like, I want to see that safety. Where safety precautions are being taken. Uh-oh. Somebody on that Valentine's Day booty call.
No, I'm at the office. Walked up in here hecka loud.
She's at the booty. She's at the booty call office.
The booty call office.
Oh my god. Well, I'm girl six. Hello.
Right.
Oh, that's classy.
Man, I love. Man, you're gonna make me watch that movie.
Too and everything.
Yeah, she really does have the headset.
You know, we tell everybody, like, as long as you leave the kids, animals, and people who say no out of it, go out there, be an adult, have a good time, and be safe.
Yes.
You know, I think it's like people are so limited in their sexual exploration that they get that's why so many relationships break up or some people.
I hope you guys can hear this.
Oh no, we can hear it fine.
They're not, They're not out there exploring, and they're too busy judging other people instead of making sure that they and their partners are happy.
Exactly. And with that, we're going to end it on that note, because honestly, you have spoken so much truth. We definitely have to do a part two with King, because, man.
We've learned a lot in 45 minutes?
It just makes me excited. So, King, you did say again that you were going to be doing some events coming up, so.
Oh, yes. So, we will be in Oakland for the Kinky Pop-Up. We're going to be in San Francisco at Kink HQ for a live show, Temperature Play and Pervertibles. And then we're going to be in Chicago. We're going to be in London. We're like all over. We're going to be in Miami and LA over the summer for the Dungeon Tour.
Can they get tickets for all your events?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Y'all got to bring y'all sexy selves out. Come party with us.
Oh, we definitely will.
So where can everybody else come? Like, where can everybody else purchase tickets?
Oh, definitely either find at KINGNOIRE on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and all the links are up there. They're on Eventbrite, and definitely you can find them also on JSJLinks.com.
You said JSJLinks?
JSJLinks.com, LINKS. Yeah, JSJLinks. Jet Set and Jasmine. She has all the information up on her site.
Mm-hmm.
So you can find one of us, and then you can find all of our award-winning porn on RoyalFetishXXX.com and KingDoirXXX.com.
Woo! Honey, I know what I'm about to do. But no, King, I can't even thank you enough. Like,
are you guys doing any content shoots?
We definitely do. We definitely shoot content. We're always looking for other talented performers who want to collaborate and make something beautiful with us.
Yaz, you better step up, girl.
Okay, cool.
I need to see this shit.
I mean, that's why I ask. Close mouth, don't get fed.
Because you were just with
me in my city.
Man.
You know?
Man.
I do have a little spiller I wanted to tell everybody.
Ooh.
I'm going to relaunch my website.
Yes!
Congratulations.
So that's why I asked. Like, you know, this is opportunity here to start getting my content up.
Yes, I'm all for that.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it, because I just saw a picture of you, King, recently with one of our good friends, Lotus Lane, and I'm like, damn, I need to find this content ASAP.
Oh man, that scene came out crazy. I told her I was gonna put her on blast because she squirted on my Jordans.
Ooh. You should go sell those, my man.
Yes.
That's memorabilia there.
Oh my God. Is it up right now? Uh-oh.
That's what she said.
Some of it is up on the OnlyFans already and on her OnlyFans. But it'll be up as a full scene next month.
Hell yes. I need to see. I'm going to hit her up. I'm going to be like, girl, I need to see that footage now.
You want the BTS?
I want it all. I want to see, like, when he freaks out and be like, the fuck my J's? You squirted on my J's?
Oh, nah. I'm definitely more pro squirt than pro J's. Like, ooh. Squirt as much as you want on them.
Oh!
Ah, wow.
See, yes.
A squirter.
Yes, I'm a squirter. King, oh my God. I might have to just do one scene only, and just have my close friends see it, because I will do a scene with you just to squirt. That would be amazing. Just say.
You want a personal video.
Honey, yes the fuck yes. You kidding me?
Okay.
Hell the fuck yes, okay? And then it will never be leaked. It'll be one of those, like, I'm going to show it once and then burn it.
You just don't want to burn it because he got his copy. Never going anywhere.
Man, oh man. But yes, King, we definitely will have to have you back on. And we definitely will link up with you. Absolutely. With those events, because it sounds like it's a damn good time.
Yeah.
So King, once again,
I appreciate it.
No, thank you. Thank you. Like spreading that good message. I mean, gosh. Man, I mean, again, I'm going to have to come back with just, we're going to have a whole more, just, we're going to have to do like more episodes with you just to do a follow up because honestly, it's been just so good. And, you know, this has been a long time coming. So I just have to say thank you, thank you, thank you for coming on.
I appreciate you guys having me on during daddy daycare right now.
We love it. We embrace it. We embrace it.
Hello. Okay.
Majesty in the background.
He could come to anytime with his little cute self. I love it. He's a little cute.
I think next time it's gonna be just me though. That way he won't be yelling and laughing and stuff in the background.
Yes.
He's your hype man.
He is your hype man. You know what? We gotta have you and Jet Setting Jazz. We gotta have you. You both.
Sure.
Yeah.
Cause nothing like a good old couple to add to a foursome on there.
Oh, hell yeah.
All right, everybody. So with that, you know the deal. Safe sex is the best hot sex. You can follow me at Ms. Radio Sapphire. That's MSRADIOSAPPHIRE. Yaz, where can they get you?
You can hit me on Instagram, Fit and Dirty, or you can follow the Yasmin page, which is It's King City. And that's it. That's all I got.
And King, one more time of where they can find you.
All right. Everybody can find me at KINGNOIRE. Right? That's where they can find me. On Instagram, Twitter, and The King Noir on Facebook. And definitely look out for.
We will definitely, definitely follow you. And of course, read the bio too, because all the links will be posted up on there. So until the next time, thanks everybody. Good night.
That was the show, all you sexy motherfuckers out there. Now remember, Ms. Radio Sapphire on Instagram, Twitter, said. For more earplay fun, go to iTunes, Podomatic, and all.